Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's Geeks On Magic. For more information and news we talk about in the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com. Hey!
Woo! Oh, it's magic. We're not.
Nobody listened to the Cars but me.
How about, you can do magic.
Good.
You can have anything.
Come on, magic song. Go.
For some reason, I'm only thinking of Magic Johnson.
Peter has no ear.
I don't know why.
Peter's like, I don't listen to music. I was too busy reading.
Yeah, pretty much. By the way, we now have to pay royalties for both those songs.
Okay.
So.
Actually, as long as we're talking about them and it's under 15,
commenting on
under
them.
15 seconds, yeah, we can do whatever we want.
Hi, my name is Aaron Hendricks. I'm a graphic designer and filmmaker here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
Hi, my name is Pete Robinson. I'm a screenwriter here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
Hi, my name is Matt King. I am an actor here in Los Angeles, and I, too, am a geek.
Hi, I'm Ariel Tompkins, and I am a filmmaker and editor, and I'm also a geek.
Woohoo! Welcome, welcome.
To another episode of Geeks On.
See, I'm getting these out, like, more and more.
I know. You're, like, I'm trying to tear.
I'm trying to pound them through.
What did you do for your geek week other than get more geek episodes up?
Well, I saw Spider-Man.
You did.
Ooh.
Spider-Man? Phil Spider-Man?
Spider-Man.
Phil Spider-Man? I met him. I met him at a party. He's
Ariel,
great.
You saw Spider-Man.
I did see Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Multiple.
None of you two have not seen this.
I have not seen it.
I have not, and I'm excited. So,
excited to see it?
I'm actually excited to see it, even though, because I will watch Spider-Man read the phone book. I don't care.
Right. Well, okay, here's, we won't do any spoilers
okay.
then. Here's my review, and then Ariel, you can chime in,
sure.
or you can give it yours completely afterward. I thought it was a good movie.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was probably just as good, maybe even a little bit better than the first Spider-Man that
Not
came out.
Not as good as number two.
No, I really liked number two.
Yeah, me too.
I wouldn't put it over that.
Okay.
But this is, you know how Sam Raimi kind of has his...
He's tongue-in-cheek.
The cheese factor is constantly...
He's riding that edge.
He's riding that edge. And normally he crosses it, and he didn't in the first two. He was pretty good about it. This didn't have really any chances of doing that. Like, it felt like it was...
It's in the Spider-Man universe.
Yeah. Now, the guy who plays Spider-Man... Peter Parker was way better.
Really?
I thought Andrew Garfield.
I was totally like I became a fanboy of this kid because of last Comic-Con.
Right,
because he came in a Spider-Man outfit and he pulled the mask off.
Oh,
and
awesome.
He announced to the crowd that he was a skinny kid and he had gotten beat up a lot. And
this was
what pulled him out of it. He said he was sort of going back and forth over whether or not he should accept the role. You know, and the actor side of him is going, don't be an idiot. You've got to accept this role. And the other side of him, like, I'm too afraid. I don't know how to do this. And then he realized there was sort of the conjunctive point between the two was...
Spider-Man.
I have to tell this story because this is Spider-Man saved me. So...
Right.
And I was like, oh, I completely fell for it. So
It was nice to see.
That sounds like really well designed copy by like and it,
yeah
yeah by yeah. By manager.
Yeah, we wrote this for you. Get out there in a Spider-Man costume
and sell the shit. What really happened was they offered him a role. He's like Spider who?
Yeah, exactly. He was like Spider-Man.
Yeah, it was great to see a skinny little high school student.
Right.
It was great to see him in high school. And it was great to see him skinny in the costume. Like, you know how, like, Spider-Man is also, like, a lot of times he's drawn with, like, his head's almost bigger than his body. He's like a little lanky superhero.
Yeah.
And it was great to see that even.
Okay.
Like, he's a small little dude.
Yeah. Well, I like that they were sort of hearkening, at least in some of the images that I've seen, hearkening back to the Todd McFarlane days of Spider-Man where he's really, like, in a crouch every time.
Yeah.
Anytime he's swinging, he's spider-like. He's not always like huge and gymnastic.
Yeah, no, it really Well, there was kind of a, to me, there was a, I'm not sure about how you thought of it. There, the special effects were hit or miss. Like sometimes you go, oh, really? That looked great. And some of your times you're like, what the hell?
Did they do, did they do the one where you're in his first person?
Yeah, they,
yeah,
did,
they did that.
A couple times. Because that was vomit inducing.
No, it was very short.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was like the Xbox game that they did parkour and they, I forgot the name of it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mirror's Edge.
Yeah, Mirror's Edge, which I'm not a fan of. No, I mean, I like the game.
They copied Mirror's Edge shot for shot.
Exactly. Yeah, right. They did, which was cool. But then when they actually show it in a film, you're like, because in a video game, you're like, awesome, I'm in the video game.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I mean, it was so brief a couple times. Okay. It was fine by me.
You guys see it in 3D or in 2D?
I specifically did not... I saw it in 2D.
I saw it in 3D.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
How was the 3D?
So how was that in 3D?
The thing is, the 3D, it felt like it wasn't over the top. It didn't hit you on the head.
Okay,
and you probably don't need to see it in 3D for that same reason.
Okay.
So, and so I think some of the scenes weren't in 3D because I took my glasses off at some point. And
Now, the only thing the end has kind of it gets a little silly at the end, like that... Like the city, the citizens help out Spider-Man in kind of a dumb way, I thought.
Okay.
But whatever. But the biggest problem I have with the movie is I kind of was like, yeah, I just saw this.
I think it's just hard to... It's kind of like how DC revamped all of their characters this year. And you're like, okay, everyone knows how these characters started.
So a reboot, but maybe not enough of a reboot.
Well, they just started from scratch again. So it's like, you know...
He gets bit.
Right.
You know,
well,
certain
people...
Right, but I mean,
dies.
Batman we've seen a dozen times, even though it wasn't as close together. But that was...
But also, Batman went from a very kind of comic booky Batman to a very real Batman.
Yeah.
The universes were so distinctly different.
Right, and that's
the question
I mean.
Is, do you feel like this was like an entirely different vision of Spider-Man, or do you feel like, we're just kind of redoing him?
I just feel like it was a reboot, but I thought the acting in it was really well done.
Emma Stone, Andrew Garfield, good chemistry?
Yeah, good chemistry, and
one
Aunt
thing,
May
awesome.
And Uncle Ben.
Did they,
one thing I think
they
did do in this one is they set up a trilogy seed from the very beginning. The whole premise of Peter Parker, I have never heard this origin story where his parents are semi-involved with the secret of him being
Spider-Man.
Yes.
And they didn't... The strange thing is they bring it up. It's a big part of the movie, but then they don't do anything with it in this movie.
Okay.
So it's almost
other
like...
Other than Doc Connors being...
Yeah, but that's very kind of... They don't solve the mystery. They set up a mystery that they don't solve.
Right.
So it's almost like they're setting up a trilogy storyline, or at least one sequel storyline.
Right.
It's... So they were a little
forward
thinking.
So they don't kill Gwen Stacy in this one?
She survives.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Maybe they kill her by the third one, or the second one.
Well, they are doing a second one. They're going to shoot in New York instead of... Because this one was actually shot in L.A., and then some of it was shot in New York. But now they're moving the entire production to New York, changing directors, and they're going to shoot another one.
Now, is he staying in high school the entire time in this one, or is he...
I hope so.
Because that was the great thing. Ultimate Spider-Man by Brian Michael Bendis, the comic book, is fantastic. And it's great because...
He's leaving, too, did you hear?
Bendis is?
Yeah, he's leaving Ultimate Spider-Man. He's taking on a new comic.
He's been writing it for a long time.
Yeah,
he might be
15 years or something. Yeah.
But it's like, what was great about it is it was, he's in high school. He's a kid with, he's a superhero with high school problems.
Yeah.
And the first Spider-Man was kind of that, but then he quickly was out of that. And it was just, you know.
Yeah. Well, the other interesting thing about this movie is if you want to see a lot of Spider-Man, like him doing a whole bunch of stuff, this is not the movie.
Oh.
It takes like half the movie before he even becomes Spider-Man. It's like a Peter Parker story.
Good.
Which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
It was kind of refreshing.
Yeah. Uncle Ben lives?
Well, do you want me tell you the whole damn story?
No. Okay, I'll leave it.
Let's just put it this way. The things that are supposed to happen to Spider-Man all happen.
Yes.
Okay.
The things that sort of have to happen for him to
be Spider-Man.
To be Spider-Man happens.
It's like, you know, if you did a Batman movie origin story, you'd have to say Batman became Batman because of what?
Right, exactly.
If you take that out, then you're literally changing.
Right.
So those things are in there.
Excellent.
So, yeah. So that was my geek
excellent
week, really.
Love it. I ended up shooting the first episode of my steampunk oeuvre.
Yeah.
It's called A Clockwork Heart. It's going to be a steampunk web series that I'm developing. I'm going to be taking it out to Kickstarter. Finally got it done.
In the can.
Looks good.
Uh-huh.
Lisa Lassick was helping edit the green screen sequence that we shot before. Had penny farthing bicycles and crazy packs and awesome.
You had the gear.
I had the gear.
You had the costumes and all that.
And the guy who designed these stuff is amazing. He made everything practical. Like, he made me this helmet that every gear works, every light shines. It even has a fan that keeps your head cool. It has a microphone and transmitter earpiece, like that's two way. So I loved his thought behind that. He was like, so if you take it out to an event, somebody could be out in the audience doing like sort of a mesmer routine,
and then you're feeding
you stuff, and you put on the helmet, and you could read their mind. And I was like, fantastic! I love that you think I'm going to do that.
We just need to get this in two shots. That's all we need. Yeah.
So now, did Matt become a superhero?
Exactly. Exactly. So now, yeah. But now, you know, I bought up the world of steam.com and a whole bunch of other things, and now I'm developing a website, and we'll see it soon. Hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
Well, congratulations if it doesn't suck at the end of it.
Well, you know, getting it in the can is 80% of.
Well,
you're doing good.
Yeah, so far.
Do we have any news?
We do. I have a big bag of news.
Yeah, I got some news too.
All right.
Who wants to start? Oh, should we play the news song?
Yeah.
Okay, news.
Okay, so news. Have you anybody noticed that we suddenly just went into cyberpunk these last couple of weeks?
It was crazy.
We had the first stem cell. Veins, like veins that were designed,
veins, yeah. Mm.
And then put implanted into a human being. I mean, blew me away.
That's pretty crazy.
Then the neurotransmitter, something like that, for the eyes, which basically allowed somebody to see colors and light with the little chip in the back of the brain. The new perfect working legs, the most accurate robot legs to date.
Yeah, I saw that on like 60 Minutes or whatever.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then this one, which is, this one's almost done. The zebrafish, Dario Rario, is a tropical fish belonging to the family Cyprinidae. Blah, 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 blah. It's popular in aquariums. The new study in the Journal of Neuroscience describes the role of a protein in the remarkable self-healing ability of the fish. The finding could eventually lead ways to stimulate spinal cord regeneration in humans.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
and
crazy.
Basically, the article goes into a bunch of other things, but it's incredible. It's incredible.
I have something that tops that.
Shut up.
Yes. apparently, they have found the genes responsible for breast size.
Shut up.
That's right. You can do a gene test and figure out how big your tits are going to be.
That's
your baby's tits.
Yeah, now, when are we going to be able to like apply this? When can I make my tits bigger? That's
exactly.
What I want to know.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they've been testing these on rats.
See, rule 32 means that means that there are scientists out there right now searching for the gene for penis size.
Hmm. I'm sure they were searching for that way before they
I was going to say that. I feel like that would have been first. Yeah. A lot of scientists
found it. Oh, we're behind.
We're behind. Yes. So research has found. I'm not sure yet if maybe you could do some type of gene therapy to change them. But yes, they have
gene
found
therapy.
The gene.
No. I mean, she's 1.5. What is she drinking? Why is it green? Well, you know, we want her to have double D's.
Oh, mom.
Also, here's another. This is something we talked about last week. You know, we had George Bush's head on a pike in Game of Thrones. Well, HBO pulled the episode from HBO Go. And stopped selling DVDs, and they changed it.
Yep.
They digitally changed the head, so it does not look like George Bush.
Yeah.
It's now back on HBO Go, mm-hmm. and I guess they will be making more Blu-rays and DVDs with the new non-George Bush. So they
How can you even tell that's George Bush?
I don't know, for some reason someone on the show felt the need to tell the world, and as soon as they said it, I was like, that's the worst idea.
Look, we use a lot of parts from a lot of things. We're sorry we used the president's head and stuff.
Yeah, it was a bad
idea. Now, that being said, I feel like one of the things that has happened recently is that we have come to respect the office of the president less and less and less and less and less.
I agree. And I think this was inappropriate.
And I don't care if it's a president that I don't like or really, really hate his policies. Respect the
office. I totally agree.
You know, so with that, that's beyond the pale.
Who figured that out is what I want to
know. Nobody.
They mentioned it in the, like, a
commentary.
The creators of the show were like, oh, and that's George Bush's head. Yeah. And then shitstorm.
Yeah. What were they expecting?
Trust me.
That's something like you never mention, and it's just something that people who did it probably should know about.
And then the creators go, "No, are you out of your mind?"
Yeah, and then you deny.
That is if they'd put up like we put every president's head up. You know,
Well, I think they said that it was just they just had a bunch of heads around, and that was one of the like the Futurama. Ones they had it available. Yeah. So they put it on a head in the art department, and you know, it had a wig on it. Like no one would have ever known.
No. All right. Anyway, so HBO did go back and change, which
capitulated to Republicans and let Republicans have another week of law.
HBO keeping it classy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
How can you be that stupid?
I know.
How can you be that stupid? I mean, not just to do it, but to then talk about it.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know. Oh, man.
And it got by everybody else. It got by everybody on the commentary because somebody's got to edit the commentary. And
yeah. HBO is not responsible for the commentary and opinions of.
Yeah, there's another podcast. It's Kevin Smith's podcast called Hollywood Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a segment every week on their show called "Shit That Should Not Be."
Right.
That is stuff that's missed in movies. If you just listen to that section of the show, it is effing hilarious. It is absolutely effing hilarious. Like Wildcats. Like there's an episode of Wildcats with Woody Harrelson and Goldie Hawn. She's a coach for a football team. Woody Harrelson at the end of the movie is charging downfield. He's the running back. And every time he's charging downfield, he's black. He gets tackled, he stands up, he's white. He runs back downfield, he's black. And they're
I've
like, how did this
lot.
Get
I've
by everybody? He's black.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
it's amazing. That's because it was edited on some type of small screen, and they said, "Yeah, you can't tell," and then they blew it up the size of whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I've seen that movie like 30 times because it's always on TV, and I've never noticed it.
it's
ever.
Amazing. Yeah, this last one was Blofeld's cat in Bond, and how he's trying to control it,
right?
Because the whole station's blowing up, but the cat's going apeshit, like nobody else looking at this, we're not seeing it, and he's like literally choking the crap out of the cat,
trying to keep it sane
so that the take stays good. It was hilarious.
All right, any other news?
You got anything, Pete? So Tactus Technology is showcasing its next-gen mobile tactile tech at SID's Display Week in Boston. They created a tactile layer component that generates a haptic user interface. I'm going to throw a bunch of technobabble at you. With real physical buttons, guidelines, and shapes which rise out of the surface from any touchscreen.
Yeah, you know, Apple had a patent on this for their version,
really?
And everyone, the iPhone 4, people were wondering if it was coming out. I'm sure they're wondering if it comes out on iPhone 5. I don't think it will. But yeah, people have been kind of waiting for this.
Blew me away.
It's a great idea.
Watching it work.
It's a great idea. Because
it's unreal.
Not like part of the problem with typing on the iPhone and iPad is you can't feel anything. So even if you felt little nubs or something would really help that.
Unreal.
Okay.
By the way, I'm a little disappointed in Apple recently. I mean,
I know. Yeah, you didn't like their advertisement before, and
well, I just didn't, you know, just sort of not feeling like everything's quite as cohesive and held together as it should be.
Jobsian, you know? As it were.
Sorry, what?
Jobsian, as it were. Steve.
Yeah. Jobber. Well, it's just there's the first of all we were talking about the last ad campaign, which was it's all
Zoe Deschanel being.
It's
terrible. I mean,
the whole thing about Apple has always been it makes it really cool, but it's not. It makes it really cool, but it's not anyone specific.
Yes.
It puts you in the ad.
Yes.
You're the outlier.
You know? Yeah. So, like, it's a silhouette for the iPod. You know, it's a it's someone's feet up holding the thing. It's your perspective for the iPad. But now they've got the iCloud, and the iCloud just
is a mess.
It's a mess.
Yeah.
It's awful.
First of all, it's very hard to put documents in and out of there.
Yeah.
You know, it's a real mess. And second of all, you can't share your photos through it.
I know.
With right. anyone else, which is like the easiest thing to do.
And it was the easiest thing to do that
I
they
think
had
in the new
before.
iOS.
They had the functionality before, and then they got rid of it.
iOS 6, I think, has a subscription to photo feeds, I think. So I think you can do that in the new iOS. But you're right. It's a hot mess. And even the music thing, which is a...
I just don't want to upload all of my music and photos to a server that they can take down at any time. Like, I've learned my lesson.
No. All it does is copy a version of it. You still have everything.
Well,
yeah, but it also ensures that you know, I'm not borrowing your CD or whatever. You know, you can't give me a zip drive full of
You can.
Files.
Right now,
you can keep the files on your
computer. Just another version up on the web,
if your computer gets stolen,
right.
and you get a new computer, you can just download them all off the web instantly.
So if you download a file, let's say, you know,
let me give you an example.
No, but let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If you download a music album,
yeah.
right, and you've signed your password and paid for that music mm-hmm. album, and then you burn that music album rather than to a disc than to a zip drive. Right, or a flash drive, excuse mm-hmm. me. And you give
zip drive.
It totally fucking aged myself right there. then you give that flash drive to me.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that music album have a signature on it that was saying you had bought it?
It's right? From Apple?
Yes.
If you bought it from Apple?
Right.
It would have a signature. There is a way to get around that.
Right. So now if I then take that album and I upload it to this cloud, right, is then Apple
is
going...
Is it a rat on you?
Is Apple going, hey, you have stuff on your album.
Well, the thing would what would happen would be... This is how it would work. Were you to then try and put that on your computer,
mm-hmm.
Because it's got copyright protection on it, the
there is no
would say,
copyright protection.
There
That's
is
gone.
No, it exists on something.
It does exist. Like, because
DRM's gone.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong, but my understanding is you can that there is a DRM version you can buy, or you can pay a little more for non-DRM.
That was gone like 3 years ago.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
there you go.
No.
Then I guess you're
and
fine.
And it doesn't upload it. What it tries to do is it says, oh, you have
got you somebody you got, that I used to know or whatever it is.
Right. Cake. Okay.
Right.
It doesn't upload it. It says, oh, we have cake too. Check mark.
Okay.
That's all it does. Now, if it says, oh, you have Geeks on episode 123. We don't know what that is. Okay. We will upload that.
Huh.
So, because they don't want. They don't want
everything.
They don't
want
a hard
copies
drive.
Of everything.
Yeah,
or 6 million copies.
Million.
Of
yeah, we have cake.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We have that up here. Why would you know? We're just going to check mark it for all those millions of people. So here's another trick you can do, and this is what people are doing. All those things they stripped off from like DVDs or CDs that like years ago you encoded at a lower bit rate because you needed to save room for. Well, Apple has a pretty high bit rate, so what they're doing is they're doing sync. Apple goes, check, 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 check. Even though these were on CDs, we have the music. Then they're deleting them off their computer, and they're going, oh, restore. And then Apple's giving them a really nice high bitrate copy
back. It's the
smartest
thing I've ever heard in my life.
So, yeah, there's all sorts of... I mean, that part's done okay. It just doesn't seem to be syncing correctly. I'm having a problem with it. It's like songs are kind of like... disappearing or I can't find them.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, what's going on
That's
here?
That's not fun.
So, anywho.
But the other problem I got with Apple is that their store is not, I mean, it's just not easy to find what you're looking for.
No.
It's like
is a mess too right now.
If you want to buy the top 20 or 100 things that are selling, that they're selling a lot of, that's great.
Sure.
But if it's a new, if it's something outside of that, it's very hard to find.
Yeah.
stuff.
It's like it's like actually trying to find things in 1996 on the when the internet was first coming out.
Yeah, they need some type of like
you gotta
social
find this site called Two Cows and go
social
there.
Thing where like it knows all your friends. Mm-hmm. And like says like when you do searches, it said you know your all your friend you know all your friends like these.
That could be dangerous.
Well, not on Apple. Apple doesn't have anything there dangerous to buy.
But I'm just imagining like you know you're buying movies and all of a sudden it's this weird thing comes up like porno. You're like all your friends. You're like my friends are all watching this. Really? It's like
I wish you could buy that on Apple.
But
what, porn on Apple just for your.
But it's. Anytime I'm looking for something like a new app that I want to find, if I want to find like kids apps, you know,
right.
It's like, it's really hard to kind of find stuff like that, you know?
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, so it's nothing compared to like Amazon's got really good search apps.
But that's not a, that's not a new thing. That, that app store has been a problem
for a long time. Yeah. But it's like, but typically Apple's been pretty good about getting their head out of their ass and fixing stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, Apple, you know? I guess so. Apple's never been good about anything online.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, mobile me's and all that shit, that's
you're
just
right.
Awful.
You're right. They make hardware, and then they make good hardware.
And they make good systems like, you know, iTunes. But their online has been atrocious always. And then that store. And iTunes is looking old.
Yes.
Like, they need to get some. They need to, like,
update
that shit, in my opinion.
Actually, there was a brilliant there's a brilliant link on Reddit that showed that this graphic designer basically said, here's how Windows should do their next iteration. Mm-hmm. And went through and said, this is the logo and this is what it should look. And it was brilliant.
It looks good.
Absolutely brilliant. It was, you know, Apple sort of goes away from digital technology and sort of goes away from things that don't look perfectly smooth, perfectly, you know, and this was sort of embracing that a little bit of crunchiness that, that PCs are known for, but taking it and making it its own, you know, and it was really wonderful. It was absolutely, I was like, if Windows does not find this and immediately jump on this guy and say, yes, absolutely, let's buy this from you for a lot of money, they're dumb.
Wow.
Because I was like, oh, genius. I got one last thing. A new superhero being released by Marvel Studios. Marvel Studios, huge with the success of Avengers.
Is this one gay? And,
no.
Okay.
Not gay. The Human Fly.
Okay. Oh.
This sounds like from something from the '50s
or the '80s. It's
actually from from the '60s, '70s.
Uh huh.
But. I mean, you have to hear the article. It's not every day that B or C list characters get their own flicks, but what about one that hasn't been around for over 30 years? Turns out the Human Fly from the limited Marvel Comics series will be making its debut on the big screen.
Oh, wait, they're making a movie out of this.
Oh, yes. The Human Fly.
I don't believe it. I'll believe it when I see it.
Okay.
I'll believe it when I'm sure someone's developing it. I will believe it when they pay money when it's on the screen.
All right. Now here's what will make you reinforce that with you. For those not in the know, the Human Fly was a stuntman who, after suffering a horrific accident, went through several reconstructive surgeries where much of his skeleton was replaced with steel. He then used his abilities to perform special stunts and tricks for charities, but often ran into criminal activities due to his daredevil antics. Alan Brewer and James Reach will produce the Stephen Goldman film with a screenplay by Tony Babinski. No word on release date or casting at this moment.
Hmm. Never going to happen.
Will we see that before Ant-Man?
Ant-Man's popular.
I know. So do you think that will be out before?
Ant-Man's coming out. I believe in Ant-Man.
I believe
Ant-Man will never have his own movie, but he'll be in something else.
I think Ant-Man. Adam.
It's a dumb name.
No. It'll never happen. They're not confident enough that they're going to make their money and people will go see that. They'll never make it. It'll be an expensive movie.
This summer has been brutal to blockbusters. I mean,
it's been both brutal and... You know, incredibly
Avengers
did great.
But John Carter
took a bath.
Well, at all.
Yeah. Wasn't that like last year?
No, both Disney. Both this year.
Both this year.
No, it was this year. Yeah. It just felt like a long time ago.
Basically, Avengers profits evened out Disney's losses on John Carter.
Well, then we had, you know, all those like battleships and all that stuff is completely...
Which all made money.
No, Battleship... Just...
I thought Battleship made money internationally. I think it made money.
Maybe, but they're considered that like being a American flop. I don't know. Right. Maybe they might have squeaked out, but that's why they moved G.I. Joe. They panicked. What? They grabbed G.I. Joe and said, we need to make it 3D, and they're throwing it to next year.
I also heard that they moved that because the guy from Magic Mike, Shannon Tatum, they killed him off in the first big like fight scene. And they were like, whoa, he's famous. Let's rewrite the beginning and have him in everything and reshoot it, and then we'll make it 3D.
Yes.
Yeah, I heard that
too. Well, that's all panicky, though. You would never do that unless you are thinking you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Because they had advertised it a month before that it was coming out. You had spent...
Yeah.
If you spend your entire budget...
$25 million on...
On advertising.
And on the Super Bowl ads, too.
Yeah.
They had Super Bowl ads.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They had the big Super Bowl ads. So we're talking about some serious
cash.
Panic.
Serious cash.
Screwed that franchise up from the beginning. I hope this will be better, but...
Yeah. I do like the trailer. The trailer looks really fun. TV show. I don't know.
Nothing.
It just means that's going to be... There won't be another TV
show. And
then
they copied our plot for the movie.
Good. Take something that's working. All right, let's do our...
Hang on. Let me talk about... this is related.
We have
I'm just going to throw this out here, and I'll put the article on online. But I found this article about whether Nick Fury's actions in The Avengers were legally justified. So when he... refused an order to
nuke
Manhattan, or wherever it was,
Manhattan.
And then shot down an American plane, was that legal?
Give it
fallout. Was that justified? Because there was no... They didn't show any repercussions afterwards.
Mm. What's fantastic is they should have fallout. I mean, that would be the smartest thing they could do for the next movie.
The great thing is the guy who wrote this has a site where he talks about kind of legal issues of like comic books and all that, and he has all these readers who are like military lawyers, and they all piped in and said, I know these laws. And so I'll put the article up, but they go through and systematically talk about
what's the long and the short is Fury's up a creek.
Well, the long and the short is that if someone gives you an order that you feel is illegal, you have the right to say no. And if you follow an order that is illegal, you can be put up on charges. Following orders does not get you off the hook.
Right.
Yes.
It's had several... they've had several...
We were only following orders.
Right. Yes. Everyone was on vacation.
Yeah, that does not get you off the hook. So if Nick Fury thought that the orders coming down was illegal... then he could refuse.
That's
refuse
a it. Fantastic beginning, I would think, to the next Avengers film.
Yeah.
The trial.
Yeah, oh, right.
It's just the Nick Fury, Nick Fury.
Well, because
like,
the other thing was like, well,
so,
the other...
Agent Fury, do you believe that you were justified in the actions of refusing orders? You know, to the death of 12 million people? Yes. Motherfucker.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And they kind of saved the world.
Yeah, exactly. And your Avenger initiative.
That'd be awesome. Well, the other
and
thing
Thor,
is,
Thor's
like,
in the courtroom. He's all big. That'd be so funny.
The a lot of the questions that these lawyers were having is like, well, first of all, we need to figure out like what type of authority Nick Fury has.
Right.
Now he seems to have some type of like military flying ship.
Yes.
So there's some type of authority there. So they were trying to kind of infer authority.
He's an admiral or something.
Because they don't really say anything specifically, so that's one thing they had to establish first about like what was
that's
legal.
Great.
Anyway, it's a very interesting article. One more, because this is something that
we're rife with news.
Yeah, this was a crazy... Do gamers need an in-game bill of rights? So now that there's all...
versus who?
Well, now that there's all these MMOs that have economies where you are spending real world money and even selling back items and stuff, like Diablo, I think, is going to have a real world, you can game and then sell and they'll send you money.
Yes.
It's like real money. That normally governments do that. Governments distribute money, they have their own currency, then it becomes almost like a government body. Hmm. And if that's the case, then do you have any type of rights within this type of government?
We should table that one. And that, right. That's a great discussion for a whole episode.
I wonder if you could do any type of fancy laundering of money this way.
Yeah.
No,
the gold farming and all. I think they already definitely have in many ways.
When people see opportunity, they take it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can. Okay, so maybe we can.
I think we should get an expert on, you know, or somebody who sort of at least has more expertise than us going, well, you know, I think. And we should throw questions their way.
All right, we'll do some research, see if we can get somebody who knows what the hell they're talking about.
If you know somebody, chime in to Geeks or Geeks on.
Maybe a lawyer.
And let us know. Yeah, a lawyer who knows something about this.
We'll get a pundit.
A pundit.
Two pundits.
Two pundits.
All right. I'm done with news, then.
I'm done.
Anybody else?
Wasn't there something about finding what made up the universe?
That's right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
probably
yeah.
The biggest news.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, but everybody knows about that. We don't need to mention it.
So, yes, the God...
Higgs boson.
Yes, God particle God may particle. Have been found.
Yeah. What I love is the skepticism. We pretty much found it. We're still going to look.
Well, they're like, we found all the traces of it.
Yeah.
And we're assuming that it's the thing that we've been predicting, but
we're pretty sure it's here.
Yeah.
We're going to keep on looking.
Well, that's what scientists should do.
That's exactly
what scientists should do.
They always have doubt.
We've proven it, but now we're going to have to prove it 20 more times to make sure we actually proved what we thought we proved.
Exactly. Yeah. They've got lots of data to sift through.
Yeah.
So, yes, one of the most important things that's happened the last couple...
Yeah.
20,
did you see Neil deGrasse Tyson's tweet on that?
No.
He was like, it was like July 4th. He's like, yeah, the day that we get to celebrate America and how much America sucks in science compared to the rest of the world.
Who discovered it?
It's at CERN. Like a team. So, I mean, it's all a
team of people, really.
Yeah.
All right, well, maybe we'll get an expert on it. I mean, if you really want to know anything about it, just read the internet, for God's sake. I mean,
Higgs boson is everywhere. There's a great animated movie on what it's about.
If you're
Higgs boson animated movie. Just look it up. It's really cool.
Yeah, that was good.
He has a great tweet.
Neil deGrasse
Tyson. I don't remember what the movie was, but he said he says, they got the sky right, so clearly the rest of the science must be true in this.
Right.
I don't remember what the movie was. Some sort of science fiction movie.
Oh, Titanic.
No. Titanic. They got this guy wrong.
Wrong.
And they fixed it. And
But no. This was like Yeah. This was like Star Wars. I mean, it's not that, but it's. You know.
All right. So we move on to our topic.
Geeks.
Okay. All right. This week we wanted. Matt brought up. It was strange that we haven't talked
we
about.
We have 6 years. We haven't been like, hey, magic.
We want to talk about magic and how
literature, movies, video games.
I mean, it's everywhere. It's rife.
Board games. How magic is used in all creative content.
Yeah, how they approach it and what does it do for the story slash game and does it work against it and all the different types.
Where do you want to start?
Well, one of the things I...
you want to pick a genre? You want to go like movies first, and then...
Well, let's talk about stories.
Okay.
Like how magic is used in stories and movies and literature.
Cool.
I'm finishing up
Name of the Wind
second book.
Okay.
I guess this. I kind of thought about it when I was reading this. I always like how different authors approach magic and their rules of magic.
Right.
And he has an interesting spin on magic. He likes making it sound like a science.
Yes.
Yes.
And when the hero is doing his magic, he's always working it out in his brain how he needs to...
If I link this bottle to that bottle over there and I lift this bottle, that other bottle will float into the air, you know?
Right, so. Or I need enough energy in order to light, you know, to light that thing on fire, so I'm going to build a campfire and leave it burning, but take some of the ashes of that campfire with me so I can make a sympathetic link between the ashes.
A stronger sympathetic link. You can still link it, but it's stronger that way.
Right. The more...
That's a more efficient...
Right, exactly. Yes. Efficiency is the more similar to the two objects. Anyway, this kind of... rules of magic I thought was very interesting. Mm-hmm. It actually made the story more interesting. And it, a lot of the plot had to do with these...
The hows and whys. Well, it was... Yeah. What I love about that story is sort of like how legend is bullshit. And a lot of what he's saying in that story is, well, my legend is really bullshit. The stuff that I do is really bullshit. But the cool thing that I really did that nobody knows about because they really don't understand is this.
Is right. Just as cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is almost like a science.
Yeah.
Like everyone thinks it's...
And what you're bringing up is actually... I was going to bring this up later on in our discussion. But I find it very interesting, and I don't really know when the switch over happened, but... Magic has rules all the time now.
Sure.
You know, and inversely, technology does not. Yeah. You know?
Hmm.
It's very strange that now magic has become more like technology than technology. And
our stories, we want to know, like, how this is working.
Right.
But in a science fiction, you go, oh, the laser,
just, the laser you thing. And the, you know, well, I'm going to throw the ball up in the air and it's going to scan the map.
Right. Or I'm going to beam myself, but we don't need to talk
right.
about
we don't need to talk about that. It's science.
Huh. I never
right?
really thought of
it. They're inverse. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting because magic has now become this thing where it has to have rules. Otherwise, we get pissed off. Mm-hmm. Whereas it used to be like wave a hand and shit happens. You know, it was like now we have to know Akio broomstick. You have to say Akio. Otherwise, you're not getting the broomstick in your hand. You have to use the wand wave. And I mean, that's why I like Harry Potter. And I think it had that thing is because they were learning magic.
I don't know that I think that Harry Potter is all that revolutionary in terms of the type of magic it is.
Right.
It's I think that is actually very similar to things that we saw before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we saw
it was classical.
It's a class.
Yeah.
Okay. Because look, let's
wizard classical stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what you want though.
So let's actually talk about
Potter.
Well, let's talk about magic. Just let's start with what any system of magic starts off with a couple different things. Okay.
And you're talking about specifically magic that has rules.
Magic, all magic. All right. Magic starts with a couple different things.
Right.
So the
well, that's what I'm saying is that this is recent. This is a recent acquisition.
No, I understand. But I don't think that Harry Potter's that. I do agree with you that there is a recent thing where there's all these very specific rules. But I don't think that Harry Potter is that. You know, Harry.
Oh, really?
It's D&D. It's D&D. Yeah. There are words. You say the words, and magic happens.
Right.
You know, but Dungeons and Dragons had rules too. Like mm-hmm. they had the old school was, you would say these words. Mm-hmm. And then it would leave your brain.
Right. Right.
Like it just, the knowledge right. of mm-hmm. what you learned left you.
Right.
And then that's some weird.
And you had to study to get that back in.
You had to study to get back in. Yeah. And now there's mana points and, you know. Yeah. So there are rules even back then.
I mean, and the traditional stuff was pretty simple. It was like you study a spell book, you learn a spell, then you can cast that spell by saying certain words is typically what would happen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In most traditional magic. It was word-based, you mm-hmm. know. So things like Aragon, you know, for example, are it's pretty much the same thing as what's come before it on some level. Do you know the Aragon books? Are you familiar with them?
I am not.
Oh.
So written by a 16-year-old or something?
Yeah, Christopher Paolini. The very popular series
of young books. They made recently a movie.
Yeah, terrible movie. Terrible.
What was the movie called?
Terrible.
Aragon?
Yeah. Terrible, okay. terrible.
But
movie.
The whole concept was that there's everything has a true name. And if you know the true name of things, it gives you the ability to cast spells by putting them in certain orders.
And right. that's same as Name of the Wind.
Yeah,
has.
Name of the Wind.
Name of the Wind is, but the difference with Name of the Wind is the sympathy side of it.
Right.
Name of the Wind also has that element, but the sympathy stuff is what makes it unusual and great.
And I'm going to slightly disagree with you about Harry Potter, because Harry Potter is like, if we imagine, like, magic just does stuff. Way back when, right? Yeah. When we're talking about magic and literature, Arabian Nights. Arabian Nights then has, you have to say abracadabra or whatever it is, or open sesame, and suddenly the door opens.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Potter then takes this one step further in sort of saying, this is how you learn it.
Mm-hmm. And it's like the root words of those.
You have to learn what the root words are for these individual spells, and you have to move your wand just like this. And what was wonderful about it is that it said, these are traditional things that you have either heard about or are just on the edge of your consciousness. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to tell you how, if you just did this just right, you could be that kid too.
Well,
and that's what I think is the
genius. What's interesting, what it sounds like, is that it you know, these are classic wizards, okay?
Yeah.
And then what they said was, remember those magic wands that you just never thought about and those words that you just thought they were throwing around? Well, I'm going to show you why those...
Yeah.
Why they were using wands and why
it's
they
not just
said,
a wand. It's got a unicorn hair at the center of it.
Yes,
and it's
exactly.
This many inches and it's this wood. And
yeah. So like, they're breaking down the traditional thing that we didn't really think about and making a mechanism out of what we were, the classical version of that.
I think that's accurate.
Yeah. Which is pretty interesting.
Yeah. And it was great, but there are a lot of things that have gone a lot further.
Much further. Much further.
But basic magic, first of all, the question is, where does the power come from?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And the answers are either you're born with the ability.
Okay.
Harry Potter.
Now, is his magic like an internal, like it comes from some type of internal
thing?
He
is not a muggle.
Yeah.
You know?
But he's not like for example, I'm going to bring up a game right now. Every role-playing game has their version of magic. GURPS, which I'm familiar with, obviously, they have this version of when you use magic, your mana point essentially was your fatigue. It actually drew from your own body, but the mana of the area would affect that. So you were essentially kind of a conduit. So if you were in a high mana area, you wouldn't fatigue at all. If you were in like modern day era,
right,
there was super low mana, so every spell would just knock your own body fatigue down.
Interesting.
And so you could play games with like high mana, like Dungeons and Dragons, and a spellcaster could just cast anything he damn wanted to. Or you could play a James Bond game and say, you know, let's throw magic users in it, but that would really, it would be almost impossible to pull off these spectacular feats because you had to pull it all from your body.
I totally wish Don was here because Don always plays the magic user.
Yeah. So. Was it like, is he was a conduit at all?
He is in what?
Is it all internal, or was he somehow pulling some type of life force? Or
in Harry Potter?
In Harry Potter?
I mean, I think in Harry Potter,
like they didn't talk about like
I never
the
got
force.
A, well, I did,
like
I,
it's again, all around us.
I didn't read the books. I watched the movie. Right. So you read the books.
Yeah. Well, the thing in Harry Potter that I never knew the answer to, and I kind of, for my geekness, I always wanted to know the answer, was how powerful is Harry? I always wanted to know, like, how is he able to resist Voldemort when everybody else is so easily swept away? And because Hermione has more knowledge, but you never get a sense in her world whether what powers what you do. Is it willpower?
Well,
is it?
Well, for Harry Potter, it was the spell that Voldemort, it was the opposing spell of it, and then love. It was like it was like the spell, the
all.
Fact that he tried to kill him, and then it deflected,
right.
And then he absorbed some of his power, so they both ended up having equal powers.
I always also got the impression with Harry Potter that there were two elements to see the two elements to magic with Harry Potter. The first is that you are born with a certain innate ability. So
this is like raw energy,
right? Which is it's like raw energy, or just ability to manipulate.
Right.
Maybe it's not raw energy, but it's ability to manipulate magic.
So, okay. Let's talk about Voldemort, because you know, if you're going to talk about Star Wars, you talk about Anakin.
Okay.
So is Voldemort, you know, because they talk about him as being the most powerful, most talented sorcerer. Is it because of knowledge or because of?
It's because of both. Because the second thing is training. So Voldemort, for example, was a very powerful magician, I would say, for three reasons. First of all, because he was innately powerful. Second of all, because he was very well trained. And third, because he had no limits. He was not stopped by anything. He would do things that nobody else would do.
Right.
Okay. And so the Hermione, who doesn't have the raw energy, she makes up for it in the skill of knowledge.
Exactly.
So she's pulling out the minute energy she has in her body and using it to its maximum
ability.
So I love that. I love the idea of like raw energy versus talent.
Talent.
But I feel like they
talent versus, my geek felt like that was never truly answered in Harry Potter. Like I was always supposing answers.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
So, so the second way of getting magic though is that everyone can do it. You just have to learn it. Okay. So Harry Potter kind of combines these two ways. You know, you have to have the ability, but you also have to learn it.
Right.
Okay. And then the third way is that you can be given it. So you can become magical if someone gives you something to make you magical.
Right.
So mm-hmm. these are sort of the three ways. These are sort of the three basic powers of magic.
Where does
magic come from?
I never read Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange was a doctor and like a medical doctor, and he has this terrible accident, and he loses his ability to be a surgeon anymore. And he's visited by a Chinese sage or something like that at his bedside, who says, "Come to this location." And he does this Batman-like journey, literally like the whole sequence at the beginning of Batman, finding the Asian temple on a cliff.
Right,
Doctor mm-hmm. Strange, and he goes and he finds the temple, and it's basically Shangri-La, and he learns magic.
Okay, so he learns it. He's not given any type of...
Nope.
He is
the chosen one. Let us not be, you know. He is definitely... He and Adam Warlock are really powerful and the chosen ones.
So he has a talent for learning magics, yes. And that's how he... But he doesn't have some type of life.
And I'm, you know, I'm not deep enough into Strange to know the true nuances, but...
Right. Yeah. Because, you know, they're like, you know, things like Lord of the Rings, they're actual... There are actual beings mm-hmm. that are magical.
Right.
And Balrog. You don't have to know. I mean, humans are different than elves. Elves are of a different...
Yeah. Well, so let's talk Lord of the Rings, because Lord of the Rings is old school, right? Is old school magic.
Yeah.
Like, the stuff Gandalf does, he just does.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really know... There's no, like, Gandalf slapping the stick on the ground and it makes light. There's just light that happens to happen
well,
to be there.
That's true. I mean, they don't go into mechanisms, but if you strangely enough, if you read, like, some of the other books where they go into the history of Middle-earth...
What do you mean, in the Silmarillion?
The Silmarillion. You realize that the gods... And this is another thing that is great about magic is the use of words and song is very important in a lot of magical mm-hmm. stories. Well, and a lot of creation stories, I think maybe that's partly why they're tied together is, you know, and in the Lord of the Rings, the gods sing out creation and they make things kind of in a certain order. And there's more kind of blessed beings and more beings that have been created that are kind of closer to each god. And the wizards are one of these things. The Balrogs are another. They're kind of the opposite of the
Interesting.
Wizard.
Interesting. I didn't realize
so
that
So the wizard and a Balrog are the same thing in a way, created in the same...
But by different gods.
But yeah, by different... Exactly. So there's all these parallels, like, elves and goblins are the same thing. They're just... They're just tortured.
Created at the same time.
Well, elves were tortured and twisted into...
Becoming goblins.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
But they're essentially the same type of thing. So, but things that are closer to the gods have this magic. So elves were some of the first beings.
Interesting.
And so they are blessed with these godly powers. And then men are kind of way further down the line. Hmm. So that's how they explain it. They don't really talk about that, though, really, in the trilogy.
Mm.
So you're right. They're just kind of like...
They do things.
They do things.
They do things and things happen. It's much more like the way we do with science now.
But the funny thing is, you know, Gandalf... Gandalf is one of those wizards that he does things like creates light and he battles Balrogs in a certain way, but you don't see him
he summons the rocks, the flying birds that they finally end up riding on. But you were like, why did you summon those at the beginning of the story?
That's kind of like he befriends them. Like the eagles are
right.
He doesn't really summon them. He asks for their help in
right.
a way, but you don't see him putting on.
He
the
asks
gamma
for
ring.
Their help. Really,
you don't
late.
See him. You don't see him putting on the ring, marching in, destroying armies, and then throwing the damn ring into the fire pit.
Right.
His magic is very limited. I mean, you see these kind of spectacular moments, but you're like, why give the damn ring to Gandalf and have him just blast his way through?
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to be able to do that. So even there's this weird, like, when I read the books, I was like, I never knew, like you said, how powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And he even has to die
right.
and transform.
Be reborn. Right.
And be reborn to even get, I mean, okay, so he lit the way and he did a couple, like,
That's the thing
tricks.
Is, it's very, like, you know.
And then he gets reborn and then he's, like, you know, doing some pretty crazy shit.
Right.
But yeah,
it's also like, why is, you know, he has Glamdring, but I mean, it's very old school. It's very Arthurian, Cressy and de Troyes, you know, If I'm going to, you know, give you magic, I'm going to give you an item of magic. You're going to have this.
Well, that actually speaks to the whole hero's journey, which is like one of the oldest stories that gets reused over and over again. Like, these characters are sort of tools to help the story progress. And the magic that sort of comes with it, he sort of, like the Gandalf character and a lot of the other characters that sort of give the main character, the hero, a tool to use in the journey that is magical a lot of times, in a way. So
Okay, so magic as tools. Here's a thing that I think we may agree on, and in fact, George R. R. Martin talked about this. Magic...
We should go into Martin in a second.
Magic, magic is used as a tool to tell stories, but also kind of mucks it up.
Right.
Like, you put magic in your story for a reason. You're not just like, hey, you know, my guy's got magic for no damn reason.
Right.
So when you're putting it in your
I know anytime you give Don magic in any game that I've ever GM'd for him, he mucks it up.
Right. Well, you know, that's a big problem. We have this problem when you play role-playing games, you play like a superhero role-playing game, you've got problems controlling everybody playing because everybody's got these superpowers and they're flying around doing shit and they're messing up your story.
They're trying to find the most creative ways to use their powers.
Yeah, right. Which is great because you want to encourage creativity, but things like magic can really screw it up, and magical games can be the same way. One of the reasons why all these RPGs have things like mana points.
Is that where it came from? Is that where the limitation in the rules came from? Because in 70 or 69 or whenever the hell he made...
I think he was TSR. Smart enough. Yeah, he was smart enough. I think he role-played that game. He said, okay, fireballs. That would be, we want magic users to have fireballs. They play the first game. The guy, the warrior walks in. The guy with the fireball walks in. He, the entire game, shoots fireballs, kills every living thing. And the warrior goes, well, I want fireballs if you can just... what's the point of me with a sword?
Right.
And they're like, okay, you're right. This is crazy.
Right.
Every time you shoot a fireball, you forget it.
Right.
And you have to learn it for the next... You get one shot.
Yeah.
So that was the way of, I think, him like balancing
that. But I just wonder,
that.
Is that the inception point at which movies, literature, all of these things start the rule-based magic? As
I think I do. I think that's smart that they have limitations because otherwise...
So you like it more with the crunchiness?
I like to know limit, because then you sit there and you're reading along and you go, why doesn't Gandalf take the ring and go in there?
Right.
You're going, why doesn't... Oh, if he can shoot fireballs...
Well, he's pretty clear on why he doesn't take the ring. I mean, that's the first...
Well, that's a corruption thing. But if you read a book and the hero has, like, magic ball and...
fire magic ball.
And he doesn't use it every single encounter, would you be like, what is this guy, an idiot? Why isn't he just shoot your fireball?
Right.
You just be constantly reading, like, what is your problem? And then you're now making, you know, have to make a limitation somehow.
So let's actually talk about some of these things then. Okay. Because some of the limitations, there's a series of things that go on. I mean, first of all, we talk about can someone use magic, and why can they use magic? Can they use it because they just happen to be able to use magic, or because they studied to use it? Okay. Or did someone gave it to them? But the next thing is, how powerful is that magic, and where and what powers it? You know, so for example, like in D&D, you're powered by your level, and you study the stuff, and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Name
in
of the Wind,
games you have mana points, you run out and you have to wait and power back up. It limits you there, which is great.
In the Belgariad, one of my favorite kid series of all time, you have the will and the word. And that's why I love the main character, because he's just massive willpower. That's why he's just got a gift.
There's a great series called the Mistborn trilogy, which is fantastic because it is so different from anything you've ever seen before.
Really fun.
All their powers come from allomancy, which means that basically there are eight. I think it's eight. Might be 16.
I have no idea.
Anyway, there's a bunch of powers that people can have. Okay, and you either have one of the powers or all of them. There's no middle ground.
Okay.
And they're powered by ingesting metal. And when the metal's in your stomach, you burn the metal and it gives you powers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's weird.
So, for example, like one of the powers is the ability to push metal away from you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool because someone's over here and they're in my way and they're trying to kill me, I can take a coin and I can push it at them really, really, really hard. Now, the problem is it's pushing that coin towards them, but it's pushing me back at the same time.
So it has a little bit of science.
Science. Total science.
So if I push it really hard and I've got maybe something behind me, I can maybe shoot right through someone, right?
Right.
At the same time, say someone's coming at me and there's like 20 people coming at me. Well, maybe I throw the coin on the ground and now I push really, really hard. Well, now I'm going flying up in the air.
Okay.
And that's how you can fly, because you can push off of this one
and
off of that one and off of this one. You just
drop coins, drop coins.
So he flies through the air by dropping coins, where they'll create flying roads where they have these metal coins periodically through it, and they can shoot themselves through this world. Okay. Totally. And that's just one power.
Right.
You know?
Great.
And
great
it's
magic.
A really interesting world.
Yeah, great magic use.
Now, is it limited by, like, him, oh, shit, I don't have any metal around me? I mean, is that how they kind of slow him down in a way?
Yes, I don't have any metal on me. I haven't swallowed any or whatever it is.
Or I run. The metal that you use has to be very pure. You know, you have to be very careful because, again, metals are poisonous if you use the wrong type of stuff. So it's really interesting. If they use a metal that is poisonous, they have to make sure they burn all of it or else they'll poison themselves.
Yeah. Oh, because the stuff left over will stay in the body.
Stay in the body. And so it's really, it's a really fascinating world. And I was really, when I first started looking at it, I was turned off by the name, The Mistborn. It just, something didn't sound like, it was so cool.
It's good.
It was such a great trilogy.
It's really fun.
There's another trilogy by, another book by Brent Weeks called The Black Prism, which is a light-based system. And so basically, people in this world are called, it's called chromatism, I think is what it's called. And you have a power based on the ability to take light that's coming down and turn that light into a certain color. And depending on the color, it'll have an ability.
Everybody's dazzler.
Well,
right, exactly.
Well, for example,
no, that sounds.
If you're a green chromat, green is a very solid thing. You can build stuff with it and it'll stay. It'll stay around. If it's red is very combustive and it's like explosive. Mm-hmm. Now, in this system, the way it works is most people are just a single chromat. And however, some people might have be bichromat or trichromat. And most of the time, it's a color next to the color on the spectrum that they're already in. So they've got – their powers are based off of a width of the spectrum. And there's one guy in the world who's a black prism, and he can do all of it.
Hmm.
And occasionally someone will have a spectrum where they're like over here in the spectrum, but they have another ability way over there. And
just kind of split.
Yeah, and so it's a really interesting world.
Did you hear about this woman who's actually – this is actually a mutation that just happened. They found a woman who's a tetrachromat. She has four cones in her eyes rather than three. So she can see 99 million more colors than we can.
Whoa.
Yeah. They found this mutation, and they talked about it on Radiolab. It's amazing.
Wow.
On their Radiolab Colors episode.
So what's interesting to me is when they start taking rules that are so different from the world that we're in.
Yeah.
It's not just, okay, well, you say this word and this happens. It's like we have a whole system based on light.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know? That's very interesting.
Now, I started off really liking was those worlds where you sort of went, you were in the fantasy world, because a lot of magic has to take place in the fantasy world.
Mm-hmm.
The things that I found that as an adult I like more are, I'm in my world and here's what's on the other side of reality. That's why I really like Potter. But I mean, here's what's on the other side of reality if you only just noticed.
The
hidden world.
Yeah.
And there's this series by Robert Adams called Stairway to Forever. And it's so sad, because he died after writing the second book. So the trilogy is never going to be finished, ever. He wrote the Horse Clan series. But it's wonderful, because it's about this down-on-his-luck guy who buries his cat in the backyard, and he happens to find a stairway that leads to another land. And when he's there, he realizes that he was put in that place at that house for a reason. And he realizes that he's a hybrid. And the hybrids are basically... Originally, there were the Tuatha De Danann, the Irish, the seed, the fairy people.
Mm-hmm.
And they started breeding with humans. But only once in a while did breeding with humans work.
Okay.
And so he's the very end of a long, you know, genetic experiment.
Oh, okay.
And so he has very little bit of the seed powers, but, you know, and very little
he's
their
weaknesses.
He's more
human than...
But it's wonderful, because, like, he can't use iron. As soon as he touches iron, his powers go away. But yeah, it's this marvelous fairy world.
I didn't know
that
about this whole fairy iron thing. Is that a...
Oh, yeah, no, that's forever, yeah. Forever.
That, really?
Salt. Yeah, fairies and salt, fairy and
I
iron.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But it's such a marvelous, marvelous world because he goes in there and he finds... It's a fairyland, and he finds all of these people who have wandered in by accident, mm-hmm. who become his friends. So he finds an entire troop of Japanese soldiers from World War II who don't realize. He finds a jazz musician who's been transformed into a blue lion. He finds a Norman prince, a Norman knight named Sir Gautier, and they're all... together, and he's got to sort of take this ragtag bunch and try and find, Luke, the head of the Tuatha De Danann, and get answers to why he is the way he is. And it's marvelous because he starts aging backwards, and it's just great. It's
so
just great.
So do you feel, Don brought this up a couple of days ago, that when he was younger, he loved, like, those Dungeons & Dragons novels where it was just everybody had magic, and you had amulets, and people were fireballing.
I like stuff, yeah.
But he said these days, like George R. R. Martin, where it's sprinkled in,
yeah,
feels better to him. Like, you know, that's a more appropriate...
Well, I like the skepticism of George R. R. Martin. That's my favorite thing in it, because the skepticism is actually a plot device. It's so great that just because somebody doesn't believe in something, that they're skeptical about it, they're jeopardizing the entire kingdom.
Right.
That's so wonderful that just because this hasn't happened in so long, and they're like us, where they're like, "Yeah, really? Magic? Come on, let's talk about this slowly."
But do you feel like that amount of magic is... Like, what's great about
that superior.
Is... Yeah, it's
no.
Superior in storytelling. You're okay with, like,
no, because,
sticky sweet...
Well, look, here's a couple...
Dripping magic.
A couple of my favorite books are Wheel of Time, mm-hmm. and there's lots of magic.
Lots of magic
power
in Wheel of Time.
Right.
And the Mistborn trilogy, and there's a lot of magic in that. It just has to be used appropriately.
I, okay. In other words, love Wheel of Time, and Wheel of Time did not use magic appropriately.
I just think it has to have rules.
Yeah.
And and those rules have to create drama. Mm-hmm. You know, the having to work within those rules have to create drama.
And I feel like Wheel of Time did up until the seventh book, and then suddenly it fell out.
The fact that
and I've read them like 10 times each. It's scary.
To me, the fact that the male half of the power is tainted.
Yeah, really.
With the Dark One's power, that anyone that uses the male half of the power, any man that uses magic in this world, is incredibly powerful, but will go crazy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And start just go insane. The fact that exists in it created all these ramifications that created immense and great drama in that story.
Wonderful drama.
So I just think it has to be that. It, once magic becomes... The problem with the D&D books...
My problem with that was that he did exactly what George Lucas did with the Star Wars ones. Is he set up his universe. He said, these are my central characters. These are the guys who are excelling at what they do. Mm-hmm. Now let me widen the world. Okay, now these guys have the same powers as our main characters, and they're just as powerful, but, you know, it was just... He ran... And this is the problem with magic. He ran into an order of scale, where in order to challenge his heroes, who were now Jesus... He had to make the problems bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and he lost.
He didn't limit the magic enough.
He didn't limit the magic. Well, I mean, I don't know if it was innately the magic problem. He couldn't contain his world enough and still make it an intimate story.
I actually don't think that that's his problem.
Okay.
I mean, because again, I think that the problem, we've talked about this before, because the beginning books were good, the end books were good, are very good.
Well, I think the Brandon Sanderson ones are quite good, actually. So I think he brought it back on track.
And even the one before Brandon Sanderson, right before that, was very good.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. I really loved it. The problem was that it wasn't an issue of magic, and it wasn't an issue of more or less powerful magic. It was a more fundamental storytelling problem, which is, as you put it, he changed editors.
Right.
And so he went from tight, condensed storytelling to he changed editors. I think he also changed publishers, correct?
I don't know.
And I'm sure that they were pushing him to expand it and make it bigger so they could capitalize. I mean, I'm not positive about
sounds
that.
Like book, it, be, it, it sounds I mean, like book five.
If you're spending three chapters talking about
yes, exactly.
A dress
book four and five.
And, you know.
It's exactly what happened with book four and five of George R.
Yes,
R. Martin.
He exactly.
Made exact same
exactly
mistake.
Same thing.
So
yeah.
It's just that when you've got this thing that you're trying to keep going and expand, it becomes a problem of keeping the
keep
story
it to
tight,
the story
condensed.
And get, you know, get to the point.
Yeah. Okay.
Which I'm interested to see whether or not George R. R. Martin's challenged by the TV show going, hey, season three is coming up, man.
I heard they're splitting that in half, though. I'm not sure if that's true.
Yeah, but that only gives him an extra year. You know, he took 10 years to write the last book.
That's true. All right.
What else we got? Anything?
I feel like we talk about this for like 10 hours.
Yeah, it's
like
true.
Names and song and
it's so true.
Are what we, about the bridge between science and magic?
Kinda? Oh, well, bring it back to steampunk. I mean, this is why I'm loving steampunk right now so much. It's because steampunk, you can have Cthulhu on one side and you can have... And you can have somebody in a weird contraption on the other.
I love it. Even like exist. You know, Shadowrunny type stuff. I love like the idea of techromancy. Mm-hmm. You know, like someone coming in and being able to, you know, control computers or net run using right. magic. Yeah, I love it when they mix that type of stuff. Because, you know, I mean, elves and dragons.
I always love when they coincide. That's why I love Rifts, despite its crunchy stupidness. I just love that you can have a gigantic walking robot right next to a wizard. It just makes me happy.
Right. it's like two geek things colliding.
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous. It's dinosaur train. You know, it's just like...
I got dinosaurs and trains. I wanted to mention just a couple types of magic.
Okay.
So there's innate magic. Just someone's magical. Right. A dragon's magical. It can, you know... Things that could cast spells. Just
that's true.
Magic.
We didn't talk about any. Well, we should close it out, but we didn't talk about any.
Then there's incantations, which is more traditional magic. I say these words and stuff happens. Mm-hmm. Then there's alchemy.
I love in the incantations where like the stories where the more you know the spell, the less of the ritual you have to do. Like there's the guy who has to have. You know, ash and a drop of olive oil. He has to say words and he has to have both hands. He's a novice. The master just has to stare and look at you and make one think of the word and you know, nod. And he does the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just
yeah,
because
yeah.
he knows it well enough. And the range in between, like, hey, I don't have to use the ash and the oil anymore. I've graduated. Or, you know, love the stories where they have that
brilliant. You just totally brought up Dragon Slayer. Still one of the best dragons in any. Actually, where George R. R. Martin still loves that dragon. That's why his dragons in his series are inspired from the movie Dragon Slayer. Loves it. In that movie, you know, the head wizard basically at the beginning of it, he dies, mm-hmm. and you're like, what the fuck happened? Like you're the coolest guy in the entire world, and then at the end of it. He rises from the dead mm-hmm. in his full power, and he basically you realize that he had to die in this specific way because he was too old to make the journey. He was too old to travel the journey, but he knew
he could just show
so you
the end.
Yeah, he used the apprentice to get him there,
right?
You know,
yeah.
and I love that movie so much. But that's the same thing you're talking about the innate, you know, just rather than I have to do these 10 things.
Right. Then there's alchemy, which is.
There's
like chemistry.
Yeah, it's chemistry with magic. It's right. magical chemistry. You know, and right. that's also in The Name of the Wind. They do a lot of alchemy type of sympathy right. type
Which
stuff.
Actually, do you know that we can now transform lead into gold? We actually can transform lead into gold.
Good point.
It's over.
It's not worth it, but...
No, it's completely not worth it, but we can.
Then there's cleric powers. God gives you your powers.
Oh, right.
Yeah, this is where it gets interesting to me, you know? And then there's also... This is the other one that we don't really talk about a lot, but... Do you guys ever play Shadowrun? Remember the physical adepts?
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you're watching like a really cool like martial arts movie where people are like leaping over buildings and stuff, and that's a power that comes from within them. They've taken the magic and put it in their body in a certain way that mm-hmm. causes them to be able to do things that are not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So these are a couple ones that I was just thinking.
Well,
about.
Well, it's also you know the more, genesis of magic where it's nature, natural magic versus
druids, right? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's like this.
Where does it come? Yeah,
yeah. Where does that flow from?
Mm-hmm. Or demons?
Or you demons?
Know,
or you know, there's yeah. the, and like even magic, the card game.
Yeah,
you pull that from the land, mm-hmm. and the different types of land is powering your different types of.
Oh,
awesome.
What's great about that game and that they've been
You've
able
been
to
been getting into this game. I love this.
Well,
this is what I play to deactivate my brain at the end of the day.
Is that they've done a good job of sticking with their own rules, like, you know,
despite increasing the number of cards.
Yes,
which is great.
And being, what, 15 years.
Yeah, they've found a balance.
Yeah, this type of land does this thing, and this type of land does another thing, and they don't mix. Even after 15 years, they haven't, like, crossed over that, at least that much. So,
well, they have dual lands. But,
well, yeah, yeah.
And then I just wanted to mention one more Brandon Sanderson book called Warbreaker. And this is a really...
He's still making new books.
He's incredibly prolific, this guy. But this series, basically, they have this thing called biochromatic breath. And if you're born with this ability, you can draw color out of an object, and then you can infuse that color into another object, for example, to make it an animated object. Mm-hmm. So you could turn your... say you want to be really strong. You could take your pants and you could take your soul and basically put it into your pants and make you be able to jump further because you're going to make your pants
animate.
Act like springs, animate, right?
Huh.
And everyone starts off with one breath, but here's the thing. Someone can give you their breath. And
like their dying breath?
It could be their dying breath, or you could pay someone. Oh. Say there's someone who's born with this ability, but they're really poor, and you say, I will give you this and you give me your breath. So people become more and more powerful the more breaths that they have.
Right.
So there's this guy in the character called the God in the book called the God King, and the God King has this immense number of breaths.
Right.
And he can do anything.
Hmm.
And but it's still you use your breaths, you split a certain percentage of your breaths to animate something to create power, but you also have to always draw color to do it at the same time.
Right.
So if I've got like
So the world's like colors eking out of everything?
No, actually things are, everything's color, very, very filled with color in this world because people always want to be surrounded by color. Mm. But if I go to use my power, all of a sudden the shirt that I'm wearing is red would become gray.
Yeah.
Mm. So the world isn't turning gray?
The world's not turning gray.
Yeah.
But if someone gives up their soul, they just look a little more
powerful. And an interesting turn on the God King at the end of that story as well.
Yeah, very interesting. It's a great, it's a really interesting thing.
Good story.
So it's really cool to me. Some of my favorite stuff, as Matt was talking about, is that there's all of a sudden these incredibly intricate magical systems where they actually explain this magic, and it's got these specific rules, and the fun of it becomes understanding how it works.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, yeah. In the same way that,
and how do I fit? Yeah. One last thing I just wanted to talk about is, and it's not quite a full thought, some of you guys can help me flesh it out, is that the more real and more adult that we seem to make magic in this world, the more evil it gets. You know, the more it becomes about pentagrams and the devil and
oh, I see what you're saying. In our real world,
in our cinema, the closer in our cinema, in anything, in literature, the closer that it tends to get to exactly what is our real.
So the
world.
More child. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Well, like, with childlike, we allow it to be fantastical with Harry Potter, with Aragorn, with certain other things. We've allowed Narnia. The escape into the other world. We're
but
allowed to
But when you introduce
have
that into something else, it usually has to be a horror movie.
Adult, yeah. Mm. The magic that's there is horrific. You know.
Well, is it because there's something?
You see what I'm
saying? There something juvenile to the public about that concept?
I don't know. I don't
and
know.
So
but I wondered
it,
why.
Unless
this
you're
happens.
Talking about evil spirits, what you've been taught about, and you know. At church and that type of stuff, then you're... Because, you know, I guess...
There is the sort of sense of dabbling in forces that should not be.
Right.
You know.
That are I mean, right. Even things like, you know, Wicca, most churches will say that stuff is evil, even though... Just because you're just not supposed to be dabbling in it. So inherently, it's bad.
Yeah,
even though
my aunt is actually a shaman on an Indian reservation. She had a sort of... a Catholic leader come to her and say, you know, very, very sort of roughneck in her face, was like, okay, show me your magic. You're a shaman. Show me your magic.
And she
was like,
God.
If it's raining, I go inside and listen to the weather and birds and pay attention to what's going on. You're the one with big pillars of flame. You show me your magic.
Right. It really became this thing. But I wonder, because there is that thing of dabbling in forces that you should
but you're making a really interesting point, which is we don't think of shamanism, for example, as... We do think of it as magic, mm-hmm. but we don't think of it as evil in any way. We think of it as actually communing with nature, and you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, so depends on who you're talking to.
That's true. Well, it depends who you're talking to, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure that that the more adult we think of things, we do think of it as evil. Mm-hmm. I think that the most that the more adult we deal with stuff, the more likely we are to go with systems that exist, and the primary of those systems that talks about magic is Christianity.
Interesting.
And in Christianity, all magic is, there's miracles and there's magic, and miracles come from God, and magic is a pact with the devil.
Now that's an interesting story to delve into.
Maybe we have to split this into more smaller, you know.
Miracle or magic?
Miracles and magic. That might be an episode.
Right. Okay. Would you guys consider the Matrix, like in the Matrix, the powers that Neil has magic? Or would you guys, what would you consider
that's
that?
That's a messianic story.
Yeah. I think it's...
Well, what's great about that is that it is magic, except for the rules and the reasons are a...
Technological reason.
Mm-hmm. So... That is kind of an interesting
That's the crossover. That's the spin on what I said at the beginning. That's the crossover where technology just... We know how this happened, so now you can do anything.
Right. I know Kung Fu.
He sort of hacks his way into...
Absolutely.
To having these powers. Serious.
But what's so great...
But then I think in the end, he actually has powers in the real world, too.
In the real world, he does. And that's when it jumped the shark.
That's why I'm so frustrated with that.
That's when they nuked the fridge.
Well, what happened was they had a single... They didn't have a trilogy.
Stephen Pritt.
No, they didn't have a trilogy.
And they had to... They had to
flush it out.
You know, I
mean... They made it up.
What are we going to do? And they didn't know where to go, and they... That was a problem.
They had a big rave.
I we've talked about this before, but I think that the answer should have been they already had Neo. The problem was that they made Neo the most powerful person in the world.
Right.
Okay.
And it fell into the Keanu Reeves trap, which is as soon as Keanu Reeves knows his ass from his elbow, the movie sucks.
Well, and the problem was, how do you take someone who's the most powerful person in the world and
knock him back down?
And they didn't have a way to do that.
But they had such
but
a...
But the secret
they had a great convention that they didn't use.
Yes. Which is, you take him and you put him in another world, which is these machines live somewhere else. He should have gone to their world.
But no, but I mean, even they had a convention that they had exist.
Okay.
That they effed up, you know, by putting the Merovingians and, like, you know, using the structure that they had already in place, right? The second one was great. They had the best sequence, I think it's the second movie, where they're moving with the Keymaster through the back doors of the system.
Yeah.
Any computer system we know has back doors, right? So if you're Jesus and you're looking for who controls this, how do you control the machines? Well, we have to start moving backwards through the programming. Yeah. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So the second movie should have been about the back doors of the computer network moving through the back doors.
How about
just don't do
another world.
Another world.
How about you just not do 2 and 3 and just go write another good story? And just leave a movie alone, for God's sake. Just leave it alone.
No.
No.
There's a ton of money there. How about you just do a good story and do 2 and 3?
And do 2 and 3.
If there's room to do it, I think there was room to do a good story.
But when you're Jesus, at the end of your story's done.
I disagree, and let me tell you why.
Because Jesus wasn't done when Jesus was at the end of
the story. Let me tell you.
He got to die and live again, dude. You know,
and then what happened afterwards? There's like a brief paragraph that he goes in, like,
Bible that comes afterwards where his followers get to do things, and, you know,
but
come on.
But here's the thing. It's the hard thing about doing a sequel, okay? Spider-Man 1 was a good movie, and it's about you need to take responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Okay? To bring it around. Nice, bring it around.
Now, where are you going to go? After that, he's taken responsibility. How are you going to have a story that's not just about, well, I'm taking responsibility and I'm going to go out and I'm going to be a responsible guy and fight bad guys? In order to create an arc for that character, an emotional arc for the character, the second one, what was brilliant about it was that the whole second movie was about, you've taken too much responsibility. You're not letting me make my own choice. Mm-hmm. You can't choose for me. So there was still a lesson to be learned. And
and yet it came out of the first one. Brilliant.
And yet it came out of the first one.
There's third a great one.
The third one didn't have anything.
I mean,
the
about
one
Sam.
Could have been
I
about
agree
something.
With that, but he wasn't the one, and he wasn't Jesus at the end of the thing. If you're the one, and you're
but he's still chosen. But here's the thing about him. That guy was not such a whole person that he didn't have any other lessons to learn, not to learn in the world.
Right.
He just learned to believe. And that belief, his whole arc was about belief. In the beginning, he doesn't believe. In the beginning, he's afraid to
step. He knows something exists.
He's afraid to take the step off the ledge or along the ledge when he's told.
Red pillar.
When he's told, jump off the top of the building. If you believe, you can do it. He doesn't believe enough to be able to do it the
first
time.
If there really was a trilogy in The Matrix, this is how it should have been done. Just like Star Wars. Luke Skywalker was the one. He was the one who had needed to unite the universe and take down the dark side.
Right.
He does it at the end of three, not the end of one.
Yeah, no, I agree. But he didn't take, by the way, he
come
did
on.
Not. But again, he killed one
dude. I'll take that to task because.
Dude. That's all he did. He killed one dude of the unkillable dudes. It's not like he took down the system.
No, he took down the whole system. The Empire.
He didn't
crumbles.
Take down the whole system. Are you talking about Skywalker? Or are you talking about Matrix? I'm talking about Matrix.
Yeah, I'm talking about Matrix.
The end of the Matrix, he did not take down the system.
He killed one guy.
He killed one guy, and he had a phone call that said, I'm coming after you.
He killed Agent Smith.
Mm. I'm saying there was room. They just didn't handle it very well.
All right. All right.
But we can disagree. It's
okay. No, you're right.
I agree. I'll
right.
back up
Pete.
He didn't take down the system.
Yeah. All right. Do we have any, since we're not even on the topic anymore?
I think we're off.
All right. So
I think we've moved to the
other
topic.
Here's what we need to talk about.
All right.
We are going to Comic-Con.
Ooh, yes.
I am not. Damn it.
Everybody but Matt's going to Comic-Con.
I get him in and I can't. It's like I'm like the guy who holds open the door and then the door shuts.
Yeah, Matt talked us way, talked us in again this year. We are going to be down there.
We should be there because.
Yeah, we're press.
Yeah, we should be there. It's just
a little tricky when you're podcasting.
Yeah. There's so many podcasts out,
yes.
And everybody
they don't understand we're the long hairs, we're the long beards. I don't know.
So we will be there, and we are going to be at the Yard House on Saturday.
Woohoo!
We still haven't found a better place yet. It's just a madhouse.
Yeah, but it's just impossible to find a venue.
Yeah. So we're going to do the Yard House on Saturday at 7:30.
Cool.
And I'll wear a Geeks On t-shirt so that you can
find
us.
Mine's getting faded. I got to get a new one.
I bought some just the other day. Hmm. So come and join us if you want to just hang out and get drinks and invite. I'm going to make a Facebook event invite. So anybody who wants to show up, it's not just a listener party. It's just anybody who doesn't have anything to do on Saturday who wants to hang around other geeks and talk about movies and video games and comic books and Comic-Con and anything else.
Or our discussions that we're already having.
Yes, continue our discussions. We are, yeah.
Feel exactly. Like so something we just missed? Tell us.
Which I'm sure we just did on this one. Show up and let's talk about it. I'll get this episode out like
ASAP.
Now. So it will be
today.
Hopefully we'll see some of you at Comic-Con.
Now, if you know what is coming at Com...
That's my pause, Star Trek door.
Pause for hot Asian.
hello, Captain. Now, if there's anything that you specifically have to see at Comic-Con, you're not going to be there, but
go on
we
Facebook.
Are. Go on Facebook. Get the message to us at geeks@geekson.com or Aaron, Peter, Don, or Matt@geekson.com. Let us know that you want to see this desperately, desperately, desperately. And
we'll try to make our way to that booth. Yeah. It gets a little rough. Like those panels, they don't even allow, press doesn't even really get a back.
We get nothing.
So it gets a little
rough.
You
got to go and stand in line for hours these days to get anything.
Yeah.
Unless you're
I'm thinking about maybe going to see like Dragon Con or something and just see because
what it looked like back in the day.
Yeah, and I don't know, Comic-Con's getting to the point where it's like hard to see anything.
Yeah, should we start the exodus like the geek, like
we can
be over
other,
this.
We need to find some other cons to go to.
All right.
I don't know.
We're so over this.
I mean, I love going to Comic-Con.
Comic-Con
I love
is
it.
So 2000.
Whatever.
Exactly.
All right. Anything else? Let's wrap this thing up.
All right. No.
All right. Have a good geek week, everybody.
Yeah. If anybody wants a good laugh, go see somebody did a video called The Star Wars That I Used to Know. It's picking on the Got Ya song.
Right.
Or the Gautier. I never know how to pronounce the name of the band. But it's a hilarious video that lampoons the Star Wars.
Yes.
So, Star Wars that I used to know. Enjoy.
Alrighty. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Rock it out. Geek it out.